morning, if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, over the last few weeks, we've been seeing the crucifying and looking at the gospel there for Luke and the events leading up to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we'll be looking together at the fulfillment of the angels' prophecies that come that we from this book would have heard. And then tonight, when we get to the Easter, for our new offer, we'll take a look at these matters and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the point I want to read with you from Luke chapter 1, beginning verse number 57. Yeah, I'm about to follow along as I read all the way through the few days after in verse number 8. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 57. When it was time for a little bit after baby, she gave birth to a child. Her neighbor's mother was heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they cared her more. On the evening that these certain songs were sung, they were going to meet the master's father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke to him and said, "No, he will be called John." They told her, "There's no one among your relatives to do that thing." Then the man signed to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He was born right now. And everyone's son, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue free. And he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and God spoke to the people that people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard it wondered about asking, "What is this child going to speak?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the gospel of early days, and he said through the whole promise of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who do us. He will mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him, even the people in knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, not among those blazing darkness, and as the shadow of it, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit. We live in a very time conscious world. Everything has to be right. You know, you know, that was shocking to get online and things on the set. In order in the next 6 hours, before the you can have your children here on the routine. Everything is hidden, the miss, everything's online. We need everything to be faster. We need faster mail service. We need faster UPS service. We need faster internet connection. We need the news stories in every second of every day. We need a radio, television, and internet. And we have Twitter and Facebook and people informed of the news is going on. We need our phone calls in real time. We need our phones and iPads. People in top of the world. Everyone is at moments of us. Everybody has to watch. We want our church service to be done in finger slot. After all, we have a bunch of offices and restaurants, right? Everything is in order time. We have everything on our schedule. We make everything faster and faster and faster. We have it on the table, and we don't like it when our money will get to the top. But God doesn't always offer the work for us before. God has his own. Had a lot of time to think about that.
for us at least 9 months. The thing about God offering someone his time to his people. He had 9 months where he wasn't able to talk. And the whole different view where it says that people made signs to become a little dead as well for 9 months. At least 9 months. Now, the interesting thing about fasting, we don't really know exactly how long it took for these events to be fulfilled, but it seemed a little better off now. We don't know the length of 9 months, but it's something longer than that. God operates on this timetable. He just passes to be chapter one. But the first thing that we're going to see is that the overriding theme in this passage is the mercy of God. In Luke chapter 1, we see the mercy of God talked about at least 5 times. In this particular passage that we read this morning, at least 3 times, mentions the mercy of God. And so that's the thing that we've got many times before, but I want to pick it up, and that is that God is abundant in mercy. God is abundant in mercy. And one of the things that we learn from this story, the way that it unfolds, the way that God fulfills his promises in Zechariah and in all of Israel and of us, is that God is merciful. And he's abundant in mercy. The first thing that I want to think about this morning in terms of God's mercy is that God demonstrates that mercy in accordance with his own mind, according to his own covenant. God operates according to his own mind, not according to us. According to verse 57, in Luke chapter 1, it says, "When there was time for Elizabeth and not for babies, she gave birth to his son." Now, we might quickly gloss over that, and we might think, well, that's probably with the 9 months that Elizabeth was pregnant, and then the 9 months were left, and it was time for her to have her baby, and there it was. But I think it's more explicit. A little bit more to it when it says, "When the time came for Elizabeth to have her baby." That reminds me of what the angel originally told Zechariah back in verse 1. So, in chapter 1, verse 1, this is what the angel told Zechariah. He said, God's word, and he then sent the message to the angel immediately because he said, "Okay, I'll give you a sign, and you're not going to be able to talk." Until this all that happens, in verse 1, he says, "You will be silent and not be able to speak until the day that happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Well, that's one of the times. We don't know if Elizabeth is asleep. Right after that, when Zechariah got back home after he had fulfilled his service in the temple, we don't know if it was a different time before Elizabeth could see. We don't know that, but we do know this. It happened for a lot of time. It happened for a long time. His appointed time, his predictions, and his fact, his appointment was fulfilled. And Zechariah had a lot to say about that. Since in this passage, all the references. It's like even verse 9, it says that on the eighth day, they came circumcised their child, and they were going to be angels under his father, Zechariah. So, all of this is according to custom, all of this is according to the law, the law says, and the law of Moses says, after the baby boy was born, and were waiting, they, on the eighth day, were to come. And we're circumcised in Israel in fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, that he would be the father of his brothers. And so they did that in keeping with the law and keeping with the truth. And on the eighth day, they come to circumcise their little boy. And at that time, they're going to leave and give them the official name. And everybody will gather and celebrate him and enjoy because of her child and her number. That's why they live by the whole. Elizabeth had been buried her entire life and had never been able to conceive a child. Now, long past normal childbearing years, Elizabeth becomes pregnant, she has a baby, and you can imagine the joy and the embarrassment of everyone coming together to celebrate with her at the birth of this boy. And everyone's expecting your name to be Zechariah. Maybe the matter is thought of Zechariah, or at mindsets and beliefs that people of God will lead. Remember the story? Remember the story of the people wanted a king. God gave them a king by the name of Saul. But Saul disobeyed God. And so God rejected Saul as king. And God said, I'm going to raise up a king of my own choosing, a king of my own heart, who represents this king David God. And God comes to David and says the same of the many times. And he says, I'm not going to take away the kingdom from you like I did in Saul. In fact, I'm going to establish your kingdom. I'm going to establish your kingdom. And here's what he says in 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. And I will provide a place for my people here, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own, no longer be a place. Which people will not press us anymore at the midst of the beginning. It is Zechariah and his prophecy, the new one, represents God delivering two commandments. It will work in our promises. 2 Samuel 7, verse 11. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. And by this means, you have a house that will continue on. When your days are over and you rest with your ministers, I will raise up your offspring to you. Your own flesh and blood. He's the one who will build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That prophecy is meant to be possible in these promises. There is a twofold prophecy going on. There is immediate fulfillment after David, he has been by the Solomon, who will build a house. But there are some aspects of that prophecy that Solomon should fulfill. That someone later on will be greater than Solomon should fulfill. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the lines of it, who is also of the own flesh. Which is why all the gospel writers did is want to show that Jesus is a descendant of Jesus. Solomon's kingdom forever, but he is establishing the kingdom of the Lord in their prophets through the testament. And so that's a lot. And we just want to praise God. And at this moment, Zechariah realized that the birth of my son, God is fulfilling his promise to David. He also fulfilled his promise to Abraham. And he chooses Abraham. And in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, so merciful are his sons, to remember his holy covenant, his oath that he swore to our father Abraham. So rescue us from the hand of our enemy, and enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all us. Verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All people on earth will be blessed. With the birth of the Lord Jesus. But what do I mean by that? Because whose birth are we celebrating here in Luke chapter 1? Who has just been born? But John had. John had just been born, and yet, interestingly enough, what's the Zechariah song all about? birth of John brings him to cause praise and joy in his heart at celebration of the birth of Jesus. The birth of your son John leads him to praise God for the birth of Jesus. Everything that he has said, all of everything he said in this song is about talking about Jesus. Not the ones of God. He's recognizing the fact that in the birth of your son John, there's something big happening here. This is special happening here. This boy, my son, is fulfilling the whole role in your salvation. But really, that role is to prepare the way for someone even greater who is God. So God is the grace, his mercy, but he's faithful in his presence. Faithful to his presence. That's what mercy is. Mercy is God's kindness, compassion, even pity, even more, on those who are desperate, on those who are lonely, on those who have nothing to offer, on those who need help. God's mercy comes to those who desperately need it. Look at verse 39. Verse 39, I want to say that God's mercy, when it says that God's mercy will abound on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. God's mercy comes to those who are darkness. God's mercy comes to those who are without hope. God's mercy comes to those who need to be rescued and rectified out of their condition of sin and misery and justice and goodness. And what this prophecy is being here, like what Zechariah is praising God for, is a fulfillment of a previous prophecy given to us in the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 3, here's what the prophet Malachi says. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise, redeeming his grace, and you will go out and follow the road of the Son of Righteousness will rise, redeeming his grace, and scepter on his trusty God, who has met in this passage in verse 78, he says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the righteous heart will come to us from heaven, not on those living in darkness, and the shadow of death, but on our Jesus Christ. Zechariah's praising God for the birth of his son John. It is an amazing time of joy. Because 400 years of darkness, this 400 years of darkness, are now coming to an end, and the light of God's mercy is coming to shine on those who are desperate. Now, we talked about this morning that in our natural condition, in our natural human condition, every single one of us is on desperate need of mercy. We have nothing to offer God. We have no hope of redeeming ourselves. We have no hope of doing anything or doing good deeds or working hard enough to say, God, maybe look what I've done. None of us are capable of doing that because God is perfect. And every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God for heaven. And our only hope in this condition of sin and darkness and holiness is that God, His mercy, would reach down and would rescue us out of that sin and misery and darkness by His own love and compassion for us. And we see that on this in the passage when Zechariah is praying God, this history, in life, God will bring to a culminating point everything that God has predicted through the prophets for hundreds of years. And all the new gospel. And Israel cried out, praise be to God. God doesn't face mercy to those who does what he needs. It is only the writer who reveals to us in this passage that God demonstrates his mercy through this person. As I mentioned a few moments ago, he promised to sacrifice us to know more about him than to trust us. It's the birth of God, but yet almost everything is promised about Jesus. While that being sacrificed and recognized, being filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied that the birth of his son is really about the birth of someone else. Would come and have a special role as God's servant, but really will be prepared away for one greater trial. In verse 7 he says, here's the one place where he completely met his own unharmed. He says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way. He recognizes that the one coming after John is the Lord. The Lord Christ, the Messiah, and John would have a role in preparing the way for him. In this book, he thought about the structure of the New Testament and the way that the New Testament is written. He spread the Holy Spirit and what it is that we're in the stories. It begins with a testament to Bethlehem, the very last time. Then it turns to Mary. And now there's the second evil from our house here. From the letter to the prayer. That goes back again. And that God is born. And we have this announcement of his birth. And so there's the birth of a child. But then in Luke chapter 2, we have the birth of another child. One that is truly present. And we have an angel singing and rejoicing in heaven. Never that he has been born, and so we're only in the rapture in the rendering. We have John and John, but then there are three more later than Jesus. John is born, then Jesus is born, even in their birth, John is preparing the way for Jesus. It really is that you are unlocked out in the ministry on this day. It's only from the early is greater than me, full grace, I'm not even worthy to come to my knees. He must increase, I must decrease. John understood his mission because he needed to rest for now. So prepare to prepare the hearts of people for the coming of the one through whom we will receive mercy. The Lord Jesus. God demonstrates his mercy in the form of his son Abel. This is Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Yet also, when the set time will come, God sent forth his son, born for one, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Mercy in his own time. He fulfilled his mercy in keeping with his promises. He fulfilled his mercy in those who have created it, and their will through his son, the Most High. The mercy of God, the mercy of God we need is found in one person. There's one. There's one left. The garment of sin that has covered all of our hearts can only be removed, can only have life and life, but the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one who can rise up the morning star and break the mirror, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man Jesus Christ. born of a virgin in Bethlehem, who lived a sinless diet, loved him, and died in criminal death on the cross. It's only in his life, his death, his blood on the cross, his resurrection, that we can have the virgin in Bethlehem. God is abundant in mercy. God is abundant in mercy. Now I pray today that you will know, understand, as you come to experience the mercies of God in your life. Thank you.